discussing the ideas, the challenges, and the technology of the crypto economy. This is a Crypto Economy Chat. What is up, crew? Welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. We have got a crypto chat episode. Haven't done an interview in a little while now, and excited to dig into this one. Had a lot of fun. Recorded this last Friday, I believe it was. And it's from a friend of mine, a guy I met at the at a recent Bitcoin meetup. And he has built a really cool little tool for the Lightning Network. His name is Tim Kieske. And you can find him on Twitter at Bootstrap Bandit. That's his Twitter tag. And I urge you to check out what he's built a tool called paywall.link, but don't go there quite yet. Let's go ahead and jump into the episode. We'll talk about his experience in Lightning Network and why he chose to work on Lightning and kind of what he sees as the benefits and drawbacks. And everything. We have a really fun discussion. So without further ado, we're just going to jump right into this one. And so enjoy this crypto chat episode with Tim Kieske, all about this fun little tool he's created and working with the Lightning Network. All right, guys. Welcome back. We have Tim Kieske here today, who is Bootstrap Bandit on Twitter. I love that Twitter tag, by the way. And where'd that icon come from, actually? Did you do that?
No, my friend did it for me when I was trying to create that Bootstrap Bandit name. I've been obsessed with that once I kind of, I don't know, I love the idea of bootstrap companies, and Bootstrap Bandit was just a name that kind of came together,
and so it kind of fits. It fits with what you got here, I think. I like it.
Badger.
Yeah, exactly.
My friend, his name's Tim as well, but he runs like a small design and branding studio, and he's like, okay, if you were a celebrity, what would you be? And he like asked all these questions, and then he just like shout out the Bootstrap Bandit.
Nice. So we met at a recent meetup. A couple weeks back now, and I was immediately interested because you had built this really cool little Lightning app. Steve had told me about this, and he's like, "You're gonna like Tim. You gotta meet Tim." And I was like, "All right, I'm on board with this." But you made paywall.link, which I immediately wanted to jump on, and I was really curious, and I kind of want to know your whole experience with this. But just a couple of days ago, I had no idea, in the number of times we have talked, I realized that you're actually really new to Bitcoin and all of this stuff. And, you know, you just kind of went head first into the water and were immediately trying to build an app here. So why don't you actually start with telling me how you got into Bitcoin and Lightning and kind of what your whole perspective was until very recently?
Yeah, so I think I first bought some Bitcoin back in the bull run 2017, huge FOMO, but it was just, you know, purely speculation. And then when the bull run was over, kind of died down, and, you know, I actually had to just turn it off. I was too obsessed with it. Just like, I was shitcoining for a little bit. It was, you know, got bad.
Staring at those price charts.
Yeah, I was just glued to Binance. But, you know, it took a break for a little bit. And then earlier this year, 2019, around February, I was kind of thinking of micropayments, microtransactions. It always kind of been on my mind, but I got hit with so many, like, paywalls, really, and, like, Wall Street Journal, and trying to read articles and all these things that are, like, you know, three free, and then you have to pay per month. And a lot of it just frustrated me. And then it's kind of like, oh yeah, I remember Bitcoin, like maybe micropayments will be possible with Bitcoin. And that's what really started the entrance into the rabbit hole. And then I realized that Bitcoin is probably not it. I actually read the Lightning white paper before Bitcoin.
Okay, so your first foray into it was really the Lightning Network, and then you kind of backtracked to Bitcoin a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, because I was trying to figure out my micropayments and see like what the status of that was, because I knew traditional, you know, transaction fees just not possible. So I was poking around, and Lightning was the first, and then I got sucked, you know, further down into Bitcoin, and then you know a lot of things clicked, and you know. Came for Lightning and stayed for the hard money, right?
So with Lightning, it's micropayments. It's funny. I don't think we talked about this specifically, but that's an interesting point that I don't think I ever really considered, that kind of those paywalls really are a lot more common now. Like I constantly have to, it's funny. I get around it on Medium all the time because Medium will have, like, if I'm logged in, or if I'm like at a certain IP address, like I read, I mean, obviously, like, you know, you listen to the show, I read constantly. And I don't want to pay the Medium fee. So I just change my IP address on my VPN so I can get another bunch of free articles.
Yeah. And there's all kinds of ways around it that people have. They like, you know, Google cached versions and, you know, all kinds of stuff that just, you know, it's roundabout ways. And I think another thing too is ads, right? Like micropayments can alleviate the need for ads. You know, everybody hates the advertising models, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny too, because there's like it is really a lot more common now. And with like traditional payments, it's a real pain in the butt, you know, like to, like when you want to make a really low value exchange, like on an article, like one article or something, it's like being redirected to something where you have to fill out all your billing information and like register and do all this crap. Like that alone is not worth the payment that comes afterward, you know?
Right.
Like it's such a huge barrier, which is why I think, you know, only the subscription model is actually going anywhere. And it's why I don't read anything. Well, it's not the only reason, but it's why I don't read anything on like the New York Times, any of the ones that have paywall, Forbes, what's the Business Insider or whatever. I don't read that stuff. As soon as I hit a paywall, I'm like, ah, like right. You're not worth my time.
Right. And I don't find myself wanting to read. I don't like, I would not use a subscription, right? There's like a few articles that people send me that I want to read, you know?
Exactly.
And I would like, pay 10 cents for that.
Exactly. I might pay for the one article that I'm interested in, but I don't want to fill out all this stuff and go through this lengthy process for subscription for something that I might not even touch once every 6 months.
Right. And neither do I want a free trial.
Yeah, that's the same cost either way. You're still having to fill all this crap out.
Yeah. So that's Lightning. So once I was reading about that, I was like, okay. And then I started poking around with setting up my own node and kind of just digging into the technical aspects. I have an engineering background, so some of that, or web development engineering, so some of that was pretty easy. And LND was great to use.
LND is what you've been messing with?
Yeah, just Bitcoin D, I guess Bitcoin Core, LND. Has a REST interface, so it's nice and easy. It wasn't hard at all to get up and going. And
that's awesome that your introduction to it was just kind of that smooth. Like it was, you just kind of started working with it, and all the tools were there for you.
Yep. It was a little. I mean, there was a lot to learn,
mm-hmm.
especially with Lightning. You know, the whole channel stuff. Liquidity, how that stuff works, sending and receiving payments, the whole, even the like custodial versus non-custodial, like I guess ethos, you know, mm-hmm. that Bitcoiners promote. I was still new to a lot of that, and so I was trying to figure out what that meant and what, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of the trade-offs there and like,
yeah,
kind of what your audience was going for, you know, like is it, do we trade off convenience or security kind of thing there?
Right. Right. And that was all new to me. you know, the whole idea of not your keys, not your Bitcoin. Like, I didn't understand any of that in February, you know?
So that was February of this year?
Of like this year, yeah.
2 months ago, February? Or yeah. 3 months ago or whatever? That's crazy. That really just surprises me that you've been in there for that short length of time. Because when I was first talking to you, I assumed, and I'm talking with a couple other people at the meetup, I think everybody else did, that you've just been in this space for a couple of years and decided to finally, like, okay, I'm going to break down and build this thing. Not that you've just kind of saw this as speculation until just a couple of months ago. And then we're like, all right, I'm going to build this tool in a month and see what I can do with it.
Bootstrap Bandit, baby.
What's up?
But yeah, I think we kind of talked about this before, but a lot of it has to do with the resources that are available now. You know, like there's so many good, you know, books and videos and podcasts. You know, like yours, you're just reading articles and stuff, just different ways to consume content.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been distilled a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it makes it a lot easier to kind of get up to speed. And Twitter. I mean, I think Twitter was a huge, I mean, you could just spend days on Twitter, but you really get people's thoughts and really, like, I don't know, just when you see something you don't know, you just go and figure it out, you know, you just keep doing that until you kind of, you know, get an idea of what's going on.
It really is amazing how many different iterations of thought and explanation are available on Twitter, and it's where I source almost all of the content that I read on the show. Probably 90% are tweeted out by someone, and then I go read it and then like really like it, and I'm like, ooh, I want to cover this topic, I want to do a whole week on this sort of topic, and then I can inevitably go find 20 or 30 more articles on it. And only on the rare occasion do I go to someone's specific page and just kind of scroll down to, you know, read a number of their articles. But when I do that, it's all because I've read something else from them on Twitter, and I'm just kind of in the habit now of checking to see, you know, their new updates in case I miss their tweets. But I agree. It's pretty exciting that you can move that far that quickly because there's so much content out there to close that gap. Cause it used to be just the longest, most arduous process to actually learn all this stuff.
Yeah. And I think that's what like kind of deferred me from kind of moving into the space earlier, is every time I guess the effort required to get over the, like, past the learning curve just didn't meet my, like, available time at the time. So I never really pursued it that much. And this time it stuck once I kind of, you know, found the entry point. And in 2017, like, you just Google, like, there was so much just bullshit information everywhere, you know, like,
yeah,
just like you could not use Google to find anything real about Bitcoin, you know.
Yeah,
I think that's where Twitter came in. It's like the real people coming, like, showing and promoting the real resources.
You had to have some sort of filter, like, to get through it.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it's intimidating at first.
Oh yeah, yeah, without a doubt. I can easily see that. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people talk about, like, in bear markets, and why people who have been here for a long time actually kind of, like, you know, bear markets aren't quite so as exciting, you know, but we talk about all the time, the signal to noise ratio gets a lot cleaner, you know, like, just like you say, like, you can get in and you can distill down to, like, really good information and find that stuff really quickly. Whereas during the hype bubble, you can't find anything. It's just completely drowned out by, you know, loudspeaker after loudspeaker of nonsense.
Yeah. And filtering that. I mean, it's frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. I can easily see that. Now, one thing I found really exciting, just kind of in our talks about, like, your perspective on this, was that it feels like we're at that stage in Bitcoin where we have this new layer, like an application layer on Bitcoin, that's bringing in a completely new audience. Like, that Lightning kind of your initial interest that made you kind of look into digging down that rabbit hole again was the Lightning Network. And it made you think twice about Bitcoin rather than the other way around. And this kind of similar to how like HTML made people look at the internet again. It's like, okay, so TCP/IP is actually really interesting. There's going to be a stack of protocols here that you can do a lot with. Maybe just kind of like go into like how you see like possible use cases of the Lightning Network. I mean, we hadn't even talked about your tool. We hadn't even talked about paywall.link. Go over paywall.link real quick and then your ultimate vision with this.
Oh, hold on. Before that, I mean, I think you brought in a good point, right?
Okay.
Like people like me, entrepreneurs and, you know, other, I guess, traditional tech space, starting to migrate over to something like Lightning or just to Bitcoin in general. I mean, it seems like the value prop is starting to get to a point where, you know, I'm willing to spend time on it. And I think it's an interesting signal, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm still not sure if it's how it's going to pan out, but the, you know, like, is it going to be possible, you know, to build these businesses on top of a decentralized system to make money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Is the risk reward going to be there? I don't know. But I think the Lightning Network is like the highest level B2C facing thing, right? And in that layer is where, you know, you can build applications. And that's what I see in it. And that's where, leading into paywall.link, going back to the paywall stuff, like I would pay 10, 20, 30 cents, maybe even a dollar to read an article just one time, just even have access to it for even like a minute or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, after seeing other apps like Tipman.me, really, I was like, oh, wow, like this really isn't, like Tipman.me is so simple, right? Great idea. And also seeing how, you know, small the community is right now, you know, where like Tipman.me kind of just like took off a little bit, you know, everybody was talking about it for like a week or two. That gave me hope for, you know, one of the, like, acquiring customers is, you know, one of the most important parts about any app, you know. And so kind of had a lot of the things necessary to bootstrap a small idea. And so, yeah, boiled it down to what you need, which is just a link to your content and amount of Satoshis that you want to pay or charge anybody to get past the link. And and that's all it was. It was just a small form at the beginning. Well, it still is a small form now.
Yeah. it's funny. Like with the paywall to, like, it kind of reminds me of, like you were saying about how Tipping.me just had this like kind of explosion of excitement for like a couple of weeks. It reminds me a lot of when, like, early on in Bitcoin, where if somebody announced that they accepted Bitcoin, even if it was like a little nothing store, like there's a famous one that started accepting Bitcoin for alpaca socks. And then like kind of alpaca socks became like a meme because everybody was excited that they were accepting Bitcoin. So I think you're actually in like that sweet spot of Lightning Network where with Tipping.me and a lot of these other things where people want to use it just because it's that new exciting thing. And we're still just breaking ground on all the little things that we can do with this. And I have to admit, like when I first saw paywall.link, your site, my initial thought was that I'm not a giant fan of paywalls because of all the filling the stuff out. And I always think, okay, because I do actually use like yalls.org, which puts just a tiny paywall in front of an article, but I don't use it a lot. So, and in that sense, I've always been a little bit on the fence about like simple paywalls like that, but the easier the software gets, the less of a barrier it is for me. Like the quicker, like with Joule and the Casa extension, I have definitely gone and clicked and done that more often, even though I tend to shy away from it. But yeah, then suddenly, But then suddenly I realized how great that could be for digital goods because of a problem that I was specifically having. That was going into just that, I'm not sure. Did you ever listen to that episode about the crypto economy holiday calendar?
I don't think I listened to it, but I'm definitely familiar with the calendar.
Which I think gotcha. Yeah. Idea. Yeah. But I hated the process that I had to use. Like the whole WooCommerce thing is just so long. Like it's a digital calendar. It's a .ics file. There's nothing complicated. It doesn't need a lengthy process. I do not need anybody's billing information. Right. But it was genuinely like a 7-step process. You know, you had to click on the product and look at the details and then add it to cart and then go to cart and then confirm and go to checkout and then select, I want to use OpenNode and fill out billing information. Literally, it was a huge, arduous process and most of the people would just cancel halfway through. But when I use paywall.link, which I have now, anybody who like wants to play around with it or just see, you can go and click on the product on cryptoeconomy.life under the Bitcoin holiday calendar. It's just right there at the top. But if you click on it, the whole process has just been, I just deleted it all and put it, and I'm using the paywall.link. And as soon as you click on it, it just pops right up with a little message explaining that you're buying a digital holiday calendar. And then it's got a QR code. And you pay it, and immediately it just comes up as save as, and you just download it. And that is, as a digital good, that is the only barrier that needed to be there. All that other stuff was just a huge inconvenience. It felt like trying to sign up for the New York Times just to read one article, you know?
Yep, totally. And that was when we were talking about that, I was getting so jacked because that was such a good like use case, you know, and you're having the problem, you know, validation for me too. I was like, yeah, like this is a real problem. And something Lightning can help with that. And yeah, you don't need any like identification or anything. You're just transferring, you know, a small amount of money for an ICS file, you know?
Yeah. 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 It just doesn't need any of that complicated stuff. Right. In fact, that's not only was it just like a inconvenience as a barrier, but like it immediately made to this relationship between me and the customer that I didn't even want. Like they're giving me their name and home address. Like I said on the podcast to like be like, you know, just fill out, you know, whatever. And it was actually funny. Like the couple people who did buy, like did just fill out something like irrelevant. It was like 13 Surveillance Avenue, none of your business, New York or whatever. Like it's a bunch of stuff like that. So I actually had fun reading those. But again, like, you know, if somebody had put in their real address, like suddenly I'm like, man, I gotta delete this. I don't want this responsibility. Like I just wanted to give you a calendar.
Right. You don't want to take on any liability for data breaches.
Yeah. I'm suddenly, their safety is in my hands. I'm like, well, shit, I don't want that. I just want you to be able to download this thing. I just want those sats, man. Just give me those sats.
Stack sats.
So tell me what's kind of your plans going forward with paywall.link? You trying to expand a little bit and make it, you were saying you wanted to maybe make it something you could customize a little bit. Kind of go a little bit more into your thoughts of going down the road here a bit.
Yeah, so the first the first iteration was like intentionally as basic as possible. And then I tried to get it out there just to see how people would use it, you know? And, that's really the, biggest indicator, but you know, the path that I want to follow is what see what people are using it for and then kind of iterate based on that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And people have been using it for all kinds of stuff. Just today, the Bitfinex and Tether whole thing getting sued by the New York Attorney General. Somebody translated, I guess, that info, maybe an article but some content into Russian, and then was charging people sats to view his Russian translation.
That's awesome.
You know, and that, I mean, that's, again, another, it's a good data point. People, I mean, there's been a lot of trolls using it to, like, Rickroll people.
Nothing like, it's a special kind of thing to, like, take up a couple seconds of your time to Rickroll somebody, but to make them give you sats and then Rickroll them, that's a special kind of meme.
yeah, charging them to troll them. Yeah.
It's just 5 sats. Don't worry, man.
I mean, naturally, that was, like, the first use cases. I was like, oh, of course. So and it seems like people are using it kind of how I thought, you know. People are trying to sell small stuff. And it really has kind of opened my eyes to, like, there's so many people that might be able to basically become merchants and sell their stuff that they normally wouldn't be able to sell. Like, one guy was selling like health sleep modules, you know,
health sleep modules,
like health modules, like get like a you know, like a, like some advice on how to improve your sleep schedule or how to
really
improve your health. Yeah, you know, it's just,
that's
like
interesting.
You know, like a couple hundred sats and get access to like a little, he's calling them modules and stuff like that. Like, you would not be able to do that otherwise.
Yeah. Pay per advice.
Yeah, pay for advice. Some people are, some guys selling fonts.
Oh, that's, see, digital goods, even aside from the whole like paywall to like read an article or whatever, I swear small digital goods are such a great thing, because all the platforms and stuff that do that, like I constantly am looking for like public domain or like low cost imagery and stuff that I can use for like icons to like make some custom thing or as a background on the website or something like that. And it's not easy to find. And every website that I go to, they'll let you download like 3, but then you have to subscribe, you know, like, yeah. Or just to get to any of the ones that you actually have to pay for, there's no way to not, like, I have to register, I have to give all this information, I give them billing information, and then suddenly they're just pulling money from my account, and I have to remember to go and undo it all later, even though I just want one image. Right. So I think the digital goods market really lines up well with that, and yeah. I'm really happy. Like, I just clicked on my calendar again just to see. I'm screwing up my click to just close ratio, but like I love it. Like it's just great. It's dirt simple, yeah. And just goes straight to the invoice.
Yep, I've been trying to, you know, talk to people that are using it and see what they're looking for. Right,
mm-hmm.
Stats, click breakdowns. I can see where people come from, you know, mm-hmm. like if they come from Cryptoconomy, you know, that refer URL, and just small stuff for now, iterations. But thinking of through a business model, that's been the most challenging part.
Yeah, because it's all free right now, right? Like, you're not, there's no fees or anything, like you're just offering it to people.
Yeah, it's all free. And I think I've been leaning towards like a freemium model where creating a link is easy and free. But if you want some more of the, what I'm going to call enterprise right now, features, like maybe customizing the invoice screen to mm-hmm. look, to be like white labeled, to look like your page, to make it like a seamless experience, or maybe having form fields on there if you want to collect an email or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would probably be something that I would really, really make use of, is just being like, just specifically for the calendar, because like I'll probably update the calendar, and I don't want people to have to pay for it a second time just to get the next holiday, or have to go in and manually enter the stuff. Like, I'd like to be able to be like, you know, leave your email, and whenever I add some new thing to it, like I can just you know, shoot it back out to you so that you can just quickly just double click and add it to your calendar. And you only ever have to pay for the calendar once. Like, yep. So something like that would be really helpful. And then probably the other thing that immediately jumped out to me was that, I wanted to sell the calendar for $1.99, like in dollars, and the Bitcoin price has moved. So it's like, you know, it goes up to $2.04 and then like $1.90, which is trivial, but it would be good if I'm not specifically just charging like 50 Satoshis or something really small. It would be good to be able to put in a dollar amount and then have it adjust.
Yeah.
So those are probably the first two things that kind of stood out to me as like, man, I would love to have this feature.
Right. All of a sudden your calendar is like Bitcoin tanks in your calendar. You get half the
revenue. Getting 50 cent. Air markets. You suck.
API access to maybe programmatically generate links.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
that's a good one.
Your instead of paywall.link, it's, you know, cryptoeconomy.life. That's what yours is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could have it not even have paywall.link, you know?
Yeah.
Sending receipts. Yeah, just a lot of the business use cases that I'm just thinking of. But
yeah.
And I don't know if people actually find value in that or how they'll pay for it or to do like a subscription, even though I've been kind of, you brought this up the other day, I've kind of been railing on subscriptions, but like this might be a subscription business.
Yeah. I think for like kind of those extra features though, like the fact that the base tool is free, like I really hope the freemium model is actually like sustainable. But like I know, like just as like, cause I was trying to customize my like checkout page and like cart and stuff with WooCommerce, and I really just didn't have much option. And I couldn't even customize the whole process. You know, I was finding there were very few options. I mean, I reached out to the Lightning Hood guys, just in the liquidity group. And I was like, man, like, do you know how to change this stuff? Cause I see you guys got WooCommerce and a store and all that too. And they couldn't figure it out. He was like, man, I'm going to try to dig into this because I'm not even sure. But none of them really had anything. It was basically just I was stuck with this. Ooh, hold on one second.
Yeah.
All right. So while the dogs are barking, let's hit our sponsor real quick, and then we will jump right back in on this topic. All right.
Nobody could figure it out.
Yeah, nobody could figure out how to get anything custom in that. And I know, like if it wasn't for the fact that I didn't like any of the WooCommerce process, I would have paid to have I think having like a custom like checkout experience is really cool, and particularly with like Bitcoin and Lightning, because it's such a different process. Like you can cut out so many of those nonsense steps. Like I would like to have, like right now the checkout page is real basic. It's just the, you know, the QR code, my message, and then, you know, expiration or whatever, and then just the click to copy the invoice. But like I would pay, especially if I'd pay a couple bucks easy to have this like my color and like have my logo on it and like give a message and, you know, ask for an email address and like just a couple other things that aren't really in the way, but just like make it have my feel on the checkout page.
Yeah. Branded for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I want people to feel like they're still doing business with me, you know, like I'm controlling the whole experience for them.
Right. And I think that's one of the things that kind of popped in my head. It's basically just an outsourced checkout page, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that it's agnostic of like WooCommerce, BigCommerce, or WordPress or anything. It's kind of like popped out, and yeah, being able to customize it and stuff would seems like something that would be of value to merchants. But another thing about paywall.link is it's pretty broad right now. I think some people kind of struggle. They're like, oh yeah, like what kind of link? Think of it as a link. what can I do with the link? But I think if it was branded more, and this is where the data comes in, you know, like, oh, it's, you know, add your digital good. It's not add your link, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that type of language might resonate more with people, but it's very generic right now.
Yeah, there's, I was thinking about it, and I think I said something last time we were talking about this, but how, like the whole idea of a cart is like settling the payment all at once is a little bit almost unnecessary in Lightning, at least right now, with the fact that like fees are just kind of non-existent. Like maybe there'll be a little bit more later on as, you know, all the network, the Lightning network and space on the Bitcoin blockchain become like vastly more valuable. Maybe there will just be fees and it will make more sense to have a cart. But right now it's like, you know, if I'm buying three digital goods, why can't I just like click and buy them individually as I'm scrolling through this stuff, as opposed to having this process of putting them all together? And actually your service is custodial, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yep. I'm not putting in any information or whatever. I just withdraw straight from you.
Yep.
But you don't charge any, you don't even charge like the routing fee or anything, do you?
At the moment? Not right now. I mean, fees are so small right now. And who knows, you know, the viability of it going forward. If fees mm-hmm. go up, it's definitely something that.
Something to consider.
Yeah, something to consider. And, you know, the, like I was saying before, the vibe of custodial versus non-custodial, you know, I think just, you know, kind of getting a little bit higher level here on Lightning, but I think some services might be better custodial. It seems that managing your own node, it's hard, you know, right now.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some work, and I have a hard time seeing consumers doing it, at least. Merchants maybe, and I guess this is for merchants, so there might be a non-custodial type solution in the future where you hook up your node. I'd be fine with that, but for now, yeah, it's definitely custodial.
Yeah, I think the learning curve, and I'm pretty sure we talked about this too, but just kind of how I saw Lightning unfolding is that like the first iteration, the first run of explosion in use of the Lightning network, I always felt was going to be custodial, because any of the tools like Autopilot or whatever that can obscure all of this stuff away in the background is necessarily going to be years after all of the tools that Autopilot is utilizing are complete, you know, like, so like if Loop is, you know, how we get liquidity, and then Submarine swaps and all this stuff, like all those tools are going to be available far ahead of Autopilot making use of them. So I saw as like that first run of the Lightning network being, of businesses that make it accessible to people, so that they don't have to fill in that gap. So they don't have to learn about channels. They don't have to learn about running nodes. But then eventually when all the software finally catches up, we'll start to branch back out and see the addition of a lot more personal nodes that aren't just enthusiasts or tech geeks or people who just are really serious about holding their own keys and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So is that kind of in your thinking too, is that like we'll see more custodial, or like kind of what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's tough to tell. I mean, I think I guess it remains to be seen if people are willing to pay. Like there's a certain level of convenience that comes with the custodial solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I would be willing to kind of, you know, pay for a custodial solution, or like, you know, like a service like Payable.link, like to me seems fine to just be custodial, as long as I, you know, am able to pull my stuff out regularly or fast and not keeping large balances there. But I think in the long run, I don't know, you know, I think merchants will trend towards being custodial solutions, like be the custodians. They'll run the nodes. They'll abstract away all the complexities for the consumers. And you'll have some consumers who are like really about it, but I think they'll just have, yeah, custodial wallets, and they'll keep, you know, majority of their, it'll just be like kind of just like a cash account, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you have your petty cash. That's where like you kind of just spend here and there, maybe transfer money back and forth to your custodial wallet, but you don't have to worry about any, you know, on-chain opening of stuff. Well, I guess you will if you deposit in, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, because that's a pretty significant barrier when you're first getting into your Lightning wallet and, you know, you're like, okay, open a channel. You know, it's like, I got my wallet. Like, if you're not already deep into it, you're immediately like, okay, what's this whole process of now making this wallet that I just set up usable? And so I think, and that's kind of why I lean towards that same thing, is that I think, especially towards the beginning, we'll see some really, really awesome custodial services pop up, is because it makes a model of things that could be really, really easy to use, but the merchant or the business is probably going to need to be the one to take that learning curve out of the whole process and be the one managing channels and liquidity. Like that's what you're doing on, you know, paywall.link, is that you're essentially making sure that, you know, you've got routes available, and I don't have to be concerned with that. You know, like our relationship is an invoice.
Right.
And so that's technically like the service you're providing me is the invoice, and the fact that your node is connected, and it's worked every time. So like every time I've messed with it, like, I don't know, do you have your public key up or whatever so that people can make channels with you?
Yeah, it's actually on the invoice screen, but I think it's on every invoice.
Okay, cool.
You click a paywall link, you'll see it.
I should probably open a channel just because I know I'll be using this a lot. And I hope I think I want to just kind of keep using it for any digital goods that I sell, like any of the like chapters and stuff for mastering Bitcoin, if that seems to work out. And I want to keep playing around with it and see, like, and I'm going to stay on top of this. We're going to talk about this at the meetup all the time, particularly as you start to iterate this into something more customizable and that kind of thing. And I want to try out different, I'll willingly be your first guinea pig on any services that you sell and stuff with it, because I think this is going to be fun.
Oh, that'd be awesome, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
feedback
absolutely.
Is always, that's what drives these small bootstrap projects, is just the feedback and building towards what your users want, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
So far, with 2 months into this, I guess that's since you've like really started digging into Lightning. What's probably the most, the nicest thing about Lightning? What's been the best part of your experience in it?
Probably, well, aside from the fact that I get like a little hit every time I send and receive stats. probably using LND. I mean, that was easy. I guess the tooling in general has been like nice and easy,
really?
Much easier than I expected for a like network / project at the age that it is at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Particularly where a lot of the limitations are in what it can actually do. That's really awesome, because I'm not a developer or an engineer, so I don't have any real judgment on that. So it's kind of cool to hear that from your perspective, as being able to kind of jump in, and it was kind of there for you, and like it works for you as a developer, you know?
Yeah, and there's lots of the tools that are there now. I mean, they're popping up, like they're new, but the developers behind them are passionate about it, you know? You hit them up and they're like down for your feedback, or they're like, everybody's so supportive of each other.
Yeah.
Even with, you know, put out paywall.link, it's just some random dude. And, like, you know, Blue Wallet put it in their marketplace section. You know, like, that was cool.
Ooh, Blue Wallet did? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And, you know, it was just like, people are supportive. People are trying it out, you know, posted in the L&D Slack and stuff. And it's been the community and the developers in the community have been, you know, pretty receptive and supportive. And it's been nice to have that tight knit community. And you only get that when there's, you know, a project of this size. That's how you know it's still small and there's lots, mm-hmm. lots to go.
Yeah, because there's so many minds on it and there's so much stuff left to build and potential yet to tap, you know. And after the network gets like full and starts to mature, it's going to be interesting because there are going to be whole new use cases that just don't make any sense or couldn't exist when the network is small and growing. But once it starts to have a market, suddenly there's these whole new things open up, you know.
Yep. Yep, and I think this is one of them, right? And
oh yeah,
people like
yeah.
me,
yeah, absolutely,
come in and try and create small little projects here and there.
All right, now that we've hit kind of the really good things about Lightning, what's the biggest limitation or frustration that you've had with it so far? Like, do you have payment problems or channel issues? Like, is that a pain? Like, how does that go?
So I think at the beginning, the trying to figure out how it worked was a little tough with the channels. I remember the first time I didn't have inbound liquidity,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't get it to work, and I couldn't understand why. And then, I posted, I just tweeted, and someone opened a channel to me, which was super nice. And then I could receive, and then I was like, oh, okay, I get it now. and then ever since then, I've been getting I have like a ton of channels now. People, it's kind of just like spread. But those were, that was like small frustration at the beginning. But now I think it really just comes down to like some of the meta. I don't think I have any direct frustrations right now, but it's really some of the longer term viability issues of the network that concern me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we were talking about earlier with like, you know, running a node, custodial versus non-custodial. Like, it's hard to run a node. What is the vision of like Lightning?
Mm-hmm.
Can it support, you know, the, if a ton of people get onto Lightning, like, will it support that? Are microtransactions, will they stay viable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big concern.
Will it become kind of a larger kind of capital market, or will it stay like a cash market? Yeah,
right. Like, right now everybody's kind of just like, you know, like, my node is zero fees.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Also, I haven't gotten to the point where I need to balance channels, and that's probably going to be a pain in the ass, but I haven't had to do that yet.
I wonder how well, like, because people are sending money in and then, like, your users, like, I have not withdrawn yet. Like, I've just got, like, the two or three calendars that I sold a couple to myself. like, it's still just in my account, or I registered on your thing. And that's actually one other cool thing, is that you don't actually have to register to do it. Is that right? Like, I could just throw the link up there?
So you could just throw the link up, but I would collect the sats.
I guess I would have to register to be able to withdraw. I'm stupid. Yeah, okay.
No way to track it. But yeah. Right now, it's still pretty easy to register. Like, email is not required. You can just create a username, password, and go.
Yeah, I don't think I guess I probably did give my email. But I remember I did it, like, in seconds. Like, it was not a process. Like, it was just, it just kind of felt like I was doing it to, I could not believe the whole thing went from start to finish. In doing that, it was basically as fast as using my initial setup of OpenNode, which every other part of this process was lengthy and a pain, except for getting those two things to work. OpenNode and then like paywall.link, those were the two fastest from, okay, I'm going to use this to I'm using it, that I've had in any of the stuff that I've done on my website, which is just really excites me that the tools cut so much of the time out. Like, as people are using this thing, it's going to be so great to be able to go straight from, I want to sell this for Lightning, to genuinely 40 seconds later, I'm selling it for Lightning.
Yep. Those layers of abstraction.
Yeah.
Just up, up and up.
So I'm thinking in the terms of like liquidity. Like, I wonder how, I mean, obviously you'll have to manage it and you'll have to kind of keep track of what's going on. But I wonder if a lot of it will actually kind of be a natural process of people buying and then withdrawing, because you may be able to use the same channels to withdraw to other people on the network. If I've sent $4 in, or it's like people buy like three calendars or whatever, $6 worth, and then I withdraw, it may find that same route out, and me withdrawing may solve your liquidity problem, you know, for my website at least.
Yep. And so, that is still an unknown for me. I have plenty of liquidity on both ends right now, but that is a to be seen if that becomes an issue. And I kind of feared that. I know that people have, you know, had difficulty with that, but, you know, and that goes into managing the node, right? And the value of a custodial solution, because I'm going to have to deal with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Crypto economy won't even know about it.
Yeah. Thanks for making it easy on me. That's why I'm hoping the freemium model still works. And we talked about that, is that like it kind of made it interesting to me in the sense that, like, because liquidity is such a will be such a desirable good on the Lightning Network, it made me wonder if initial like customers setting up channels, that it could be a great way for merchants to get liquidity by having customers open channels with them, and then they pay for the fee, the on-chain fee to open the channel. And it allows them to kind of aggregate channels with all of their customers, but they're solving their liquidity problem and at the same time directing customers to them. You know, like, their customers end up being their liquidity. Like, so if you have three channels, feel free to open a channel with me, and then like suddenly you're a helpful source in making my business accept more money, and you have to manage channels less. So,
right. Well, when you say customer, you mean like end user or other?
Anybody running a node, like anybody who's actually running like their own node in this sense, is that like, you know, open a channel with me, so that they can actually be routing. So whether or not that's the end user who's like, okay, I want to choose to run my own node and route like I'm doing, or if it's another business or somebody who has a business relationship with them, some expected customer, whether it be, you know, Starbucks buying from them or, you know, somebody else for their product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the liquidity situation is one to watch out for. And there's lots of stuff, interesting stuff down on the Lightning pipeline development wise, like splicing and two-way channels. You know, and other, innovations to help out, with some of those issues that are more manual now, you know, kind of abstract some of those, problems away.
But yeah,
I'm overall hopeful or, optimistic on, you know, the Lightning Network is in general.
Yeah, definitely me too. I'm really excited to see
what happens and how those markets develop, because I think beginning to have like Nick Bhatia talks, he has a series on it about how Lightning Network provides a time value of Bitcoin, because it's locking Bitcoin up in a time contract, essentially. So whatever return you can make on your liquidity, we suddenly have a market for liquidity. And a market for liquidity is going to tend toward getting liquidity as good. Like, there's this open free competition that's just a matter of running a node. So where liquidity is a pain or really difficult on the network is a market incentive for people to go open channels. And it's just exciting to see kind of its own little market dynamics form of something that really doesn't, we don't really have a parallel for it. I mean, we sort of do, but nothing that really has the exact same incentives. Like, Lightning is its own beast. So it's another fun economic project to be just watching very closely, the same as Bitcoin was and continues to be.
Yep. And I hope it all works out. You know, the opening of like getting like the liquidity market, sometimes I think it's going to add more fees, you know, merchants are going to have to pay to open channels and cut into their margins, especially if, in like a micro payment environment. But I think most of those problems will eventually get sorted out.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see what, particularly with like things like Loop, you're talking about splicing, and when we have Schnorr signatures and we can aggregate, like I'll be really excited to see tools that start to get abstracted away on nodes where, like, because like Wasabi Wallet is a decent example. Wasabi Wallet is coordinating, it's got nothing to do with Lightning right now, but it's coordinating an aggregate transaction, like mixing with tons of other people in a decentralized and trustless manner with other people on the network. So you're talking about building transactions among a lot of people and coordinating that. Well, what's better than an always on network that needs to open and close channels with its own little messaging layer for coordinating a bunch of people to open and close channels together? And then when you have something like Schnorr signatures, you're talking about being able to aggregate all of these signatures so that basically they can have a compression service of information on the blockchain. And when a node is literally reaching out without the user knowing to the network of to find 100 other people right now that want to close or open a channel, and then putting all of those inputs and outputs into one transaction, and then having one aggregate signature of the whole group publishing it, the benefits to privacy and the footprint on the actual blockchain just plummets. And then suddenly those fees, like the fees that you're having to pay, are nothing, you know, or vastly less than, you know, what it would be in a situation where every channel is its own transaction.
Channel factories will help with that.
Oh, too. Channel factories. Yeah. Multi-party channels. Yeah. There's just so much stuff coming to turn this market into something where you just have 30 alternatives for getting things and moving liquidity. Like, I just think there's just so much potential there. I think it would be our own fault if we don't manage to make the thing work at this point. I just think there's a lot there that just could make it so exciting.
I agree. We're on the front lines.
Yes. And I'm really excited that you made this tool. Like, I mean, it seems like, oh, it's just this simple like paywall thing, but it's the easiest integration I've had. And I don't mind any custodial service because I'm running my own Lightning node. It's so fast to withdraw from any of these services. Like, if I wanted to just jump into yours, I could immediately just withdraw the few payments I have straight to my node. And I do the same thing with Tipin.me. Like, I don't care that Tipin is custodial because in about half a second, it's not, right. You know?
Well, and you have like a couple dollars in there, you know?
Yeah. It's micropayments, you know? So I'm not risking a lot by having your custodial service. And if you screw me out of $2, I'm just not going to use paywall.link anymore. Like, yeah. I'm just going to be like, Tim's just not a good guy.
Just spread the FUD. Yeah.
I can't believe you did that. I'm going to post it on Twitter. I'm going to ruin you, Tim. Yeah, I'm going to ruin you.
But that's how it should be, though.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it's really exciting. I'm super jacked about this. I'm so glad you came on the show. We're kind of hitting the end of our run here. But was there anything else specific? I know we talked about a lot the last couple of days to mention on the show. I'm not sure if we hit it all or not. Was there something else you specifically wanted to discuss or add in?
Not really. Just wanted to talk about Lightning and Paywall.link, and if anybody wants to check it out or have questions or want to, you know, work together on it, just give me a shout at Bootstrap Bandit on Twitter. And yeah, it's been a good time. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Loved coming on the show. We're going to do this again in probably a couple of months. We've been kind of chatting with the Lightning Hood guys. We're going to get them back to see their new thoughts with all their experiences. So after we do a couple iterations on this and I get to play around with it more, and maybe when you get customizations and stuff, we'll have you back on and talk about your experiences at that point.
Sounds good. And also, this is my first podcast ever.
Is it? Oh, I popped your podcast cherry.
It happened.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Yeah. Welcome to the podcasting world.
Yeah, I've been listening to enough of them, so my ratio is pretty lopsided.
All right. Well, guys, check out paywall.link. Find any link. Please don't troll me. I do not want to get Rickrolled. And I'm going to be very upset that I sent you Satoshis if you Rickroll me. But please try this thing out. It's really fun. It's stupid simple. I think we can play around with this a lot. And of course, throw Tim any feedback and follow him. You can find him on Twitter at Bootstrap Bandit. And he does not have anywhere near as many followers as he deserves. So go up there and grab that mess so you can stay up on what is going on with paywall.link. All right, man. Thanks again, Tim, for coming on the show.
All right. And thanks, guys.
Yeah, I will talk to you next time, man. Oh, you're going to be at the meetup on Monday?
Yep. I'll be cool. There.
I will see you then. We'll chat more. See later, you. Man. And that does it. That was our episode with Bootstrap Bandit. You can find him on Twitter. I will link to his Twitter page, as well as paywall.link, which is the page that if you want to go test out and play around with Lightning and this really cool little thing that he has made, you can just go straight to paywall.link, or you can go to, if you want to spend $2 on my Bitcoin holiday calendar so that you can get the list of notifications and stuff in your own calendar. It's a .ics file. And the checkout process is dirt simple now, as you heard in the thing. You just click on it. It brings you up a Lightning invoice and then takes you directly to the download. So if you would like to do that, that's a really fun way to play around with this tool. I know there are a lot of other links and stuff available. Just check out paywall.link and or cryptoeconomy.life and click on the Bitcoin Holidays tab at the top. But with that, we are done. I really hope you guys follow him. And I think he's going to be building and making a lot of cool stuff going forward. I'm excited to have met Tim at the recent meetup. Thank you to him for coming on the show. I had a lot of fun with this one. And we may be doing a follow-up at some point in the future as this unfolds in, 5 or 6 months. And to see where his project is and to see where the Lightning Network is and talk about all the changes that have come around. So stick with me. Do not forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcasting platform and keep an eye out on cryptoeconomy.life. That's the best place to go and search through literally hundreds of other articles and essays made available in audio, all on Bitcoin and this crazy, crazy technology and economy that's being built on top of it. So thank you guys for listening. And I will catch you tomorrow with another episode of the Crypto Economy Podcast. Take it easy, guys.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.